Lord, we come before you with great expectation because you're good, because you love us, because you want good things for us, because you're our Heavenly Father, you're our Daddy. And so we come before you this morning on this first Sunday, this first gathering of the church of the year 2013, and we say, God, we love you. Come and have your way with us. We trust you. We want more of you in our lives. We want to see your kingdom come. Your will be done in our lives individually as families and as a church family, God. We submit ourselves to you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, a boy told his father, he said, Dad, if there are three frogs sitting on a limb of a tree that's hanging over a pool, and one of the frogs decides to jump off into the pool, how many frogs would be left on the limb? Well, the dad replied, two. The son said, No, Dad, listen. Listen to me again. There are three frogs, and one decides to jump. How many are left? Well, the dad said, okay, I get it. If one jumps, then the other two are going to probably follow him because they're just frogs, you know, these amphibians, right? The son said, no, Dad. The answer is three. You see, the frog only decided to jump. See where I'm going? Happy New Year. It's 2013. And let the New Year's resolutions begin, right?
Amen.
Have you made any yet this year? Have you? There was this guy that was bragging about his New Year's resolutions. And he was saying, you know what? I have kept my resolutions all year long. From January all the way through December, I've kept my resolutions all year long. They're right here in an envelope in my top dresser drawer. At least he wrote them down. How many of you have made resolutions already this January for this year? How many of you? Raise your hands. I have. Anybody else? How many of you have not kept them yet? Already kind of not happened. Okay, a few of us have. Resolutions are hard to keep. They are. Bottom line, resolutions are difficult to keep. Like the frogs, you see, it's easier to decide to jump than actually take action and jump and do it. So should we stay away from making resolutions? Do they just get us in trouble? Since it's hard to keep them, since we so often break them, should we just refrain from making them at all? At first glance, we would look at it and go, yeah, that's probably a good idea. Let's just not make any resolutions. They set us up for failure, or even worse, they set us up for not honoring our commitments. So maybe we should just stay away from making resolutions. But I submit, this morning, this first Sunday of 2013, I would say that resolutions are good. Amen. Resolutions are good. Before we continue, let's define what a resolution is. When we look in the dictionary, they tell us that a resolution is the act of firm determination. It's a strong commitment to a specific course of action. So again, it's the act of firm determination, being committed to do something. So when we read that definition and we look at it, isn't that exactly what we're called to do as Christians? Aren't we supposed to follow Christ and His ways with firm determination? Aren't we supposed to make strong commitments to the Lord, to His precepts? Aren't we supposed to resolve to follow Him, to follow His ways, to do life a different way now to put away the old, to put on the new, with a commitment, with determination. You see, resolutions are good. Firm determination is good. Commitment to a course of action, to God's way, is good. So this week, as we've seen, people all over are going to be making resolutions, commitments, to change different areas of their lives, to do things differently. Some of the most common are to get out of debt or to quit smoking. Another common resolution is to get in shape. Happens to be one of my resolutions this year. Putting on the cowboy boots just isn't enough. I got to kind of go beyond that. So I am resolving to get in a little bit better shape this year so I don't have to pull a calf muscle playing basketball with the young guys anymore. But it's not easy. It's not easy to stick to a diet. It's not easy to stick to an exercise plan. So as I resolve to lose a few pounds, to strengthen things up, to firm things up a little bit, I look to God's Word. We can go there for everything, even New Year's resolutions. Even getting in shape, we can go to God's Word and we can find out how to do it God's way. When I went to God's Word to look for some help this year with my resolutions, I ran across this guy named Daniel in the Old Testament. Everyone's familiar with Daniel in the lion's den, right? Here's a man who knew about eating healthy. He understood how to diet, how to take care of himself. Daniel knew how hard it was to stick to a diet. Some of us say, I'm going to stick to this diet. I'm going to stick to this exercise plan. I'm going to stick to my resolution even if it kills me. Well, when Daniel resolved, it really was a life and death situation. So Daniel is a great example of what it means to make a resolution and to stick to it. Daniel's people were taken into a foreign country. Let me give a little backdrop here before we jump into Daniel 1. Daniel's people were taken into a foreign country. The king was determined to teach the Israelites to dress, to eat, and to live like the Babylonians. And so he was determined that they would follow all the religious customs of the Babylonians. And the way that he figured he could make all of this happen was he was going to take the strongest, the brightest of the young Israelites and bring them into his palace and basically indoctrinate them. Because he figured, if I can get these young, influential Israelites to do things the Babylonian way, to look, to act, to eat, to worship the Babylonian way, if they do it our way, then the whole nation of Israel will follow them. But Daniel makes a resolution. This young man of God says, no, not on my watch. I'm going to resolve to do it God's way. So let's turn to Daniel 1, beginning in verse 8. Daniel 1, verse 8. We'll jump around to a few other passages. We'll be in Matthew for just a little bit, but definitely keep a marker or a finger there at Daniel 1, because that's our primary passage this morning. Daniel 1, beginning in verse 8. We kind of have the backdrop of what's been happening here. And in verse 8, it says, but Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. What we see here is Daniel resolving with firm determination to not do it the world's way, to not do it the Babylonian way, but to do it God's way. He wasn't going to let his peers, he wasn't going to let the government. He wasn't going to let the influential people around him. He wasn't going to let his circumstances pull him into doing things the world's way and pull him away from living life God's way. He wasn't going to let that happen. He resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, not to fall into the trap of the Babylonian king trying to pull the Israelites into the Babylonian way of life and of worship. And so he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself this way. Now God had caused the official, it says in verse 9, to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. But the official told Daniel, "I'm afraid. I'm afraid of my lord, the king, who has assigned your food and drink. Why should he see you looking worse than the other young men of your age? The king would then have my head because of you." Daniel then said to the guard whom the chief official had appointed over Daniel and his buddies, who actually are Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They got renamed. And he said to this official, he said, "Please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food, and treat your servants in accordance with what you see." So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. I know some of you kids like those movies, the VeggieTales, right? VeggieTales, VeggieTales, celery, broccoli. Gotta be VeggieTales. I kind of like them too. In a lot of ways, this is the first VeggieTales experience right here. As Daniel resolves to only eat his veggies. All right, kids, so read the book of Daniel. It's a veggie tale story. I'm stretching it a little bit, but gotta be veggie tales. What kind of resolve did this take? These young men sitting there in the king's palace with all of this amazing food, this spread of food, the choice meats, the desserts, the drinks, anything that they wanted was there for them, given to them. Take and eat. You'll like it. You'll enjoy it. You're worth it. You deserve it. It's a lot like today, isn't it? In our world. Every day, we have any and everything that we could ever want or desire right there. And the world is saying, take it, do it, eat it, grab it, look at it. It's okay. It won't hurt you. It's good. You deserve this kind of stuff. These four young men could have done it. And you know, eating this food in and of itself, eating a good steak isn't a sin. Having a really good apple pie, a la mode, you know, that ice cream melting over that warm apple pie. Eating that in and of itself, there's no problem with that. But these young men were convinced in their spirit, they knew in their mind that God had a different plan, and they knew that they were not to engage in the ways of the world and come into agreement and in alignment with the Babylonian ways. They understood the Holy Spirit had spoken to them and showed them the trap, showed them the slippery slope that they were about to go down if they said yes to this really good food and stuff. And they said, you know what? We know God. We know He has better for us. We see the plan of the world, and we're going to say no to it. We're going to resolve to say no to it. We spent Christmas at my sister's house just outside of Dallas, Fort Worth, and the food there was fabulous. We spent New Year's Eve in Lubbock with some dear friends of ours. And let me tell you what, the food there was off the charts. He has this smoker. And he smoked these 2 5-pound briskets. That's 10 pounds of brisket. And sausage links. And the food was amazing. And I got to tell you, I partook in it all. And I had my fill of it. And it was very good. No, I don't think there was any left over after the Joneses took care of it, okay? I took full advantage of the abundance set before me. Did not feel the conviction at that time, although the new year now I do. Hold off a little bit. True resolve, though. Let's look back here at Daniel. True resolve results in action that's in line with our resolve. This indicates that we truly believe, that we are convinced. In other words, let me put it this way. Resolve results in action and involves conviction. True resolve results in us taking action, in us doing something, and it involves true, real, deep conviction. Look, if you believe that gravity is a real thing that God created, if you believe in gravity, no one will convince you to jump out of a plane at 30,000 feet without a parachute. You will have resolve to remain in that airplane and not jump out. Because you are convinced that gravity is the real deal, and you are convinced that if you jump out without a parachute, it's not going to end well. And so you are resolved to not get out of that plane until it's on the ground. So you take action. You keep the door shut. You stay in your seat, seatbelt on. You only get up when the little bell dings and the light goes off, and they say, "Now you can walk around the cabin." You have resolve because you're convinced of something. This makes me think of what Jesus taught. We find it in Matthew 7. Go to Matthew 7, 24 through 27. This is the very end of Jesus and his Sermon on the Mount. This is how he wraps up the Sermon on the Mount. Now, he's just gone through chapters 5 and 6. That's where it's recorded anyway in Matthew. Chapters 5 and 6 of all of these things in the first part of chapter 7 of his teaching, of saying, this is what it looks like in the kingdom of God. This is what it looks like to really be a follower of the Lord. This is what it looks like to be my disciple. It's different. You live differently. You think differently. And then he wraps up his whole sermon with these statements. He says, therefore, because of the Beatitudes, because of all the other teaching I just gave you up here on the mountain. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, in other words, takes action on them, is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And then he continues and he says, but everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into action, does not put them into practice, doesn't really do something with it, but just thinks about it, but doesn't take action, that person is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. Resolve results in action and involves conviction. That's a good thing. Jesus taught us that right here. We see it throughout the Bible. Daniel's life and his buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they show us that. Resolve results in action and involves conviction. So back to Daniel. Daniel's life shows us what kind of resolve we should have. What kind of resolve is that? It's a resolve to not conform to the world. Daniel's life shows us that we need to be people who have a resolve to honor God and to live for Him. To have a resolve to do things God's way. And that takes resolve. God's way isn't always the easy way, but it's the right way. So, let's check out what happened as a result of Daniel and his buddies living a life of resolve. What was the outcome of being resolved to do things God's way? Let's go back to our scripture here. We're again in Daniel 1, continuing in verse 15. At the end of the 10 days, now remember what just happened. They only wanted to eat veggies, the VeggieTales, you know, experience. They only wanted to eat veggies for 10 days. And they said, at the end of 10 days, check us out. And if we look better than the other guys who've been partaking in all the other stuff, then judge us accordingly. If we look worse, judge us accordingly. At the end of those 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. I'm looking back here at our dear friend Christina. And she's got this huge smile on her face as I'm reading these passages because, you know, she's big into diet, into eating the right kinds of foods and veggies and all that. She's loving this. I'm having a blast. I'm looking back at her. She says, oh, this is great. I'm preaching it, sister. They looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who were eating the royal food. So the guard took away their choice food and the wine they were to drink and gave them vegetables instead. He said, you know what? What you're saying you wanted to do, it's actually working. So I'm going to let you continue doing that. To these four young men, God gave, now this is a result of the resolve they had. To these four young men who were resolved not to do it the Babylonian way, but to honor God in even the way that they ate and acted, to those four young men, God gave knowledge and understanding of all kinds of literature and learning. And Daniel could understand visions and dreams of all kinds. There's a connection between living with resolve. There's a result. There's something that God gives as a result. There's a cause and effect. At the end, verse 18, at the end of the time set by the king to bring them in, the chief official presented them to Nebuchadnezzar. The king talked with them, and he found none equal to Daniel and his friends. So they entered the king's service. Now look, there's a lesson right there. They did it God's way. Now they were told that they needed to do it the Babylonian way, the way of the world. That's how they were going to get ahead. That's how they were going to get favor. That's how everything was going to work out for them. They said, no, we're going to do it God's way. And look what's happening in their lives. They're finding favor like none other. It's working out for them. In every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters in his whole kingdom. And Daniel remained there until the first year of King Cyrus. So the result of the resolve was blessing and favor. God showed up. Three things that popped out at me here. Three areas where God showed up and gave them favor and blessing. The first one I see is physically. God supplied all of their physical needs. He blessed them physically. Their bodies were healthier, stronger, in better shape than any of the other young men. I also see that God blessed them with clear and renewed minds. Remember, God gave them knowledge and understanding of all kinds. And God also blessed them spiritually. He gave them spiritual eyes, spiritual understanding that nobody else had. He allowed them to see things and understand things in the spirit realm that nobody else on earth could see, hear, or understand. Why? Because these were young men of resolve. These were young men that said, no, I will do it God's way no matter what. I will choose God's way and not the way of the world. Even though it looks foolish, even though it's hard, even though I have to eat my veggies. Boy, that would be a big move for my son Grant. Woo! But Grant, I will prophesy over you right now that you are a young man of resolve. And if God says you will eat veggies, you will eat veggies. I know you would. That's who you are. I'm not saying that God is telling you to only eat veggies right now, though. And he says, thank you, Lord. I mean, ultimately, having resolve helps us live the way we really want to live. I mean, we really want to be healthy. Those of us who know the Lord, Jesus is our Lord and Savior, we want to honor Him. We want things to go well for us. We want peace in our homes, in our relationships. We want to do things God's way deep in our hearts. We really do. And resolve helps us live that way. Live the way we really want to live. It takes good ideas and it puts them into action. That's what resolve does. It causes us to move out of the dreaming phase into the goal setting phase. And then into that final phase of actually implementing it and doing it. That's what resolve does. You see, Daniel wasn't just a dreamer. Although he had dreams, although God gave him ideas, and he thought, wow, that would be great. He was a dreamer, but he had resolve. And so he went beyond just being a dreamer to being one who could interpret dreams. And he put those dreams into action. Resolve. The story of Daniel and his friends continues, though. And we're not going to read the whole book this morning. But as you do continue to read the book of Daniel, you'll see the story is not over after this first episode of their resolve. See, they continued to resolve on and on, day in and day out, year in and year out. They continued to resolve and to do things God's way and to honor Him. And in the midst of that, in the midst of continuing to live a life of resolve, they faced problems. Yes, they had blessings. Yes, they were physically blessed. Their minds were renewed. Their understanding was expanded. Spiritually, they were walking in giftings. Yes, but they continued to face trials and difficulties. Life wasn't a cakewalk for them. It wasn't. Read about Daniel. Read about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their life was not a cakewalk. Sometimes we think that following Jesus and being a child of God means that our lives are going to be easy. It's not true. Our lives will be blessed. We will have something that those who do not know Jesus do not have. We will have a peace and a joy and feel a love and an acceptance and feel of forgiveness and everything that people who don't know Jesus don't have. We will walk in blessing and favor as the people of God, but that does not mean that we are not still in this world. We're still in a world that's broken, where bad things still do happen to good people, where difficulties happen, and the people of God are even persecuted for loving Jesus, for associating with Him, doing the right thing is usually not easy, and it typically comes with testing and trials. But during these hard times is when we get to see God show up. in big ways. God showed up big time in the life of Daniel. God showed up big time when Daniel was in the lion's den. That happened after this first chapter. After he resolved and did things God's way and was blessed physically and with his mind and spiritually, he found himself later on in the lion's den, being fed to the lions. Nobody comes out of there alive. A very difficult situation. But what happened? God showed up big time. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, these three young men with Daniel 4, men of resolve, still had issues. They found themselves being thrown into a fiery furnace. They were living their lives for the Lord, honoring God, resolved to do things God's way, and they find themselves thrown in the fiery furnace. What did they do? Did they give up on being men of resolve? Did they say, oh, I'm no longer convinced that God is good and He loves me and His ways are right because look at my situation that I'm in right now. I'm going to bail on it. I'm going to think differently. I'm going to do things the world's way because obviously God's ways are not helping me out. I'm about ready to be thrown in a fiery furnace. No. They continued living with resolve. They were convinced that God is good. His ways are right. They will not move from that. They found themselves in the fiery furnace, and what happened? God showed up big time. He showed up in the fiery furnace with them. Not a hair on their head was singed. Imagine that experience. I was giving God the glory and saying, what an awesome experience I had with the healing of my right calf. My torn muscle miraculously healed quickly in a matter of days rather than in a matter of weeks. And how that made me feel. God showing up big time, healing me physically. Imagine you're being thrown into a fiery furnace. You're supposed to be consumed even before you go through the doors because it's so hot. You walk out without any burns. What kind of experience is that? What does that do for you? God shows up big time in the lives of His children who are resolved, even though we're going through difficult situations. In fact, it's in our difficult situations that we're going to see Him in big ways. As I conclude, I want to ask us a question. It's time for us to engage with this message. What resolutions is the Lord calling you to make this year? What things has the Lord convinced you of? Has shown you, maybe year after year after year, that it's His plan for your life and it's His way for your life and it's something that you need to walk away from and something new that you need to walk into. It's a new way of thinking, a new way of living, a new action that you need to take in your life that will honor Him, that will cause you to move forward in His plans for your life. Maybe it's something physical. Maybe it's something spiritual. Maybe it's something relational. What thing has the Lord spoke to you? What things has the Holy Spirit quickened in your heart and in your mind that you need to now resolve to embrace because you know it is God's will and it's His way for your life? And you need to be a person of resolve now and walk it out. As the band just very gently is playing in the background, I want you just to go to God right now. I want you to allow the Holy Spirit. We prayed, we sang, we invited Him to be here with us today. He is here today. I encourage you to quiet your spirit right now and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Even close your eyes right now. If you want to get on your knees, you can get on your knees. But posture yourself right now, physically, mentally, and spiritually. Posture yourself right now to hear from the Lord. Allow God to speak to you, to remind you of those things that you need to be convinced of. What resolutions is the Lord calling you to make this year? We're going to take a few minutes. You spend it with the Lord. Let Him talk to you. I imagine that many of you, the answer came very quickly because it's probably something that the Lord has been speaking to you for years. The Lord wants to remind you that you're not in this alone. He wants to remind you that He is enough, that He's not expecting you to gut this thing through in your own strength, to make it happen in your own strength. None of us are called to do that because none of us can do that. God wants to remind all of us that His grace is enough, that His grace is what allows us to be people of resolve like Daniel. His grace is what gives us the power and all that we need to take that resolve and then put it into action. We're not alone. God's Word says in 2 Peter 1 that God's divine power, His divine power, has given us everything we need for life and godliness. His divine power has given us all we need to be people of resolve. It says in Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that brings salvation, His grace that has justified us, has appeared to all men. And it's powerful and it's big because it even teaches us to say no to ungodliness. It teaches us to say no to the worldly way. It teaches us to say no to the Babylonian way, no to the way of the world. And it teaches us to live a godly and upright life in this present age. It teaches us, it empowers us, it gives us everything we need. His grace does. To come into agreement with His ways, to say yes to Him, to not be afraid to be people of resolve. God is that good. He loves us that much. He's given us everything that we need. I want to invite you to stand with me this morning. Let's resolve to confidently step forward into this new year. Confident in God, let's resolve to confidently step forward into this new year and live for God. To follow His ways, to not be afraid of the high calling that He has on each one of our lives. To remember that God is a big God, who is able to do more than we could ever hope for or imagine. God is big and He's good. And He has all we need and He's given us all we need to walk in faith, to walk with resolve. This year is a good year. This year is a new year. This year is the year of the Lord. Ready to walk in resolve, just raise your hands just as a sign of agreement and of trust and of faith in God. And let me close with this prayer. God, we love You. We raise our hands, Lord God. We raise our hands signifying surrender to You. Lord, we surrender our lives to You. We surrender our will. We surrender our days, our hours, our minutes to You because You're good. And You're all we need. And Lord, we stand here humbly as Your people, saved and changed by Your grace. And we say humbly but with confidence in You that we will be people of resolve this year. We resolve to live for You. We resolve to say yes to You, to say yes to Your ways, to trust You with our lives. We love You. You are good. And we are excited for this year. We are encouraged and excited for what you have for us. The blessings, the favor that comes as a result of being your children, Heavenly Father. Be glorified in each one of our lives. I know you will. For as we live with resolve, we will be evident. It will be evident that you are in us. We will truly be the salt and the light. We truly will be that city on a shining hill. We will be the people of God, people of resolve. We love you, Lord. We trust you. In Jesus' name, we all say together, Amen. Yes, Lord.